Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life. The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker tov, chodesh tov. Another Israeli who is stepping onto the international stage in a more serious fashion is Professor Eliezer Rabinovici. And he was elected as the 24th president of the Council of CERN, which is the European Organization for Nuclear Research. This council governs the organization and oversees major decisions, programs, budgets concerning nuclear research in Europe. And most specifically, it is responsible and operates the Hadron Collider, which is this high-energy collision of subatomic particle contraption. I don't know what else to call it, machine, a piece of equipment that they have located in Switzerland. It's a fascinating thing. They've done quite some interesting things with it. But Professor Rabinovici is now the president of the CERN Council. He served on the council already for a number of years. He is elected for 1 year, but that can be renewed. So in reality, he's expected to serve probably a 3 year period. He is, of course, a professor of physics at the Hebrew University in Jerusalem. And he is considered to be a brilliant theorist in the most advanced fields of research. And some of the things that he does, I managed to read them. I didn't know if I really understood much about them. Theoretical high energy physics, particularly quantum field theory and string theory.
Right. Well, you're losing
those
me.
Those people who understand those things.
For that person who understands this.
Exactly. Well, I mean, I think this is a great achievement for an Israeli professor.
Absolutely.
To take, you know, the lead in something which is clearly very, very specialized indeed. And then just to open discussion up to the listeners out there on some controversial issues, because, again, we've had stories about the U.S. administration, Joe Biden, sending quiet messages, we're told, quiet messages to Naftali Bennett to urge him not to advance construction in certain areas which are considered to be sensitive, particularly the area between Jerusalem and Maale Adumim. We understand that there haven't been any construction plans approved. Obviously, it's a sensitive area because the Palestinians lay claim to this area as part of their capital, part of Jerusalem, part of the state that they're trying to create, which doesn't really seem to be going anywhere. Does this mean we shouldn't be constructing there? This is area land under the control of the government of the State of Israel. Does this mean that the U.S. administration has the right to prevent the Israeli government from advancing construction plans? How long do we need to wait until this Palestinian state does or doesn't happen in order to keep developing our country? Does the U.S. administration have the right to demand this of us? And of course, this comes at a relatively sensitive time because we've already discussed the fact that the funding for the Iron Dome system, billions of dollars, has not yet been approved by the U.S. government. So, you know, how should Israel be responding to this? What's the thought out there?
34519 or 0618951019. What involvement should a foreign country have, essentially? And how should Israel respond? I'd love your thoughts on that. An announcement is expected next week about the possibility of allowing, tourists into Israel. This is a very big announcement or a very big story for South Africa, certainly for our listeners, who many of whom have been desperate to travel there.
So the discussion below the surface right now, the unofficial talk, is that the Ministry of Tourism is pushing very, very hard to reintroduce tourists to allow them to come to Israel. The reasons are not difficult to understand. I was in Jerusalem towards the end of last week. I have to tell you that it is an enormously quiet place compared to what I you know, am accustomed to seeing in the city of Jerusalem. I had the great privilege and opportunity to walk a little around the old city and to go to the Kotel and to walk through the Arab market. And it is very quiet in Jerusalem, I have to tell you. And, you know, the lack of tourists is so noticeable, not only in Jerusalem, but indeed elsewhere in Israel. So there are reasons why the Ministry of Tourism would like to introduce tourists is obvious. Also, people simply wanting to visit family and friends. You know, it's not only about visiting holy sites and enjoying all of the tourist sites that Israel has to offer, but it's also about personal relationships. So the quiet talk, this talk below the surface, is that it is likely that when tourism is reopened to Israel, that it is going to involve only tourists who have been vaccinated. If you have been vaccinated, then you could potentially qualify to be approved as a tourist to Israel, because I think that that's what it's going to involve. It is unclear to me how anybody is going to assess whether your vaccination is relevant, is up to date, is appropriate for being able to come to Israel and to be safe here. Obviously, there is this issue about if you travel to Israel, you don't want to have to spend a week or two in quarantine before you can go anywhere. So that's a particular issue that's going to have to be addressed at some point. But obviously, this is just continuing the line of thought that we're trying to reopen as much as possible while being very, very cautious, not limiting, but being sensible. And in the event that there is any real danger of infection being spread, to isolate that very, very quickly and to shut it down while allowing everybody else to continue their daily operations. There is the word on the street. Some people have said there is no need to punish. This word punish is being used now. No need to punish people who are doing okay because of certain individuals who are either have contracted the virus or who are unvaccinated or who are at high risk. There's no need to punish everybody. But of course, we all understand that this is a collective thing and we have a great deal of impact on each other. But at least there's great news that this discussion is happening. And let's wait for next week to hear if there's any more on it. Right. But it could be, yeah, we are told, as soon as November.
That would be absolutely wonderful. Really, really would be good news indeed. Hamas is reported to have been pushing Egypt to finalize a prisoner swap arrangement with Israel. Why is Hamas feeling pressure on this matter, Anthony?
Yeah, they are feeling pressure on this matter, and the way that they're expressing this pressure is kind of threatening. They apparently, a delegation from Hamas was in Egypt earlier this week to talk about the possibility of an agreement of calm and a prisoner swap, and then warning that these violations that Israel is reported being accused of committing, not quite sure exactly what these violations are, but apparently there are violations according to Hamas speak, could result in an explosion. And this explosion, we're told, is something along the lines of the Gaza operation that we saw earlier this year, that there could be some sort of an open conflict between Hamas and Israel once more, having had quite a few of them up until now. I think Hamas are feeling a little pressure, A, because there has been this massive security sweep within the West Bank. We've spoken about that. Hamas operatives being detained, being lined up, Israeli security forces operating against them in order to arrest people who are active on behalf of Hamas in the West Bank. And I think that that has not done Hamas's public relations any good at all, not done them any favors. I also think that the general public in Gaza right now are feeling like there is no progress in any way. Nothing's happening. Hamas are not operating to change the situation in any particular way, in any meaningful way. After having seen so much publication, so much publicity about the potential of a prisoner swap. And of course, I think we've got to add into the mix the whole escape from Gilboa prison and then the recapture of those individuals who escaped. I don't know how much, how many favors that particular episode has done Hamas. And I think that now they're really trying to push Egypt to somehow come to an agreement of some sort to be able to show their Palestinian street, the street in Gaza, that Hamas really does have some power. They really do have some standing on the diplomatic stage and that they are able to bring things to bear, make things happen. So I think that that seems to be the main reason why Hamas is feeling this pressure. We know that there's been ongoing discussions, including the Egyptians, to try to bring this so-called agreement of a longer-term calm between Gaza, between Hamas and Israel, and also talk of this prisoner swap. We know that the names of those two Israeli soldiers whose bodies are being held at the moment, Oron Shaul and Hadar Golden, are always in the press. People are always talking about it. And the whole Ron Rudd episode that we've discussed over the last couple of days has just served to kind of focus it a little bit more. And of course, it also brings into some focus the whole prisoner swap that was done for Gilad Shalit. And, you know, perhaps Gilad Shalit's parents could be saying, when looking at the Ron Arad story, there but for the grace of God go I, because they could easily have been in a situation where their son was still missing in action, not knowing where he is, because these things, you know, often are opportunistic. I think the Israeli government seized an opportunity, and it just makes one wonder whether the massive price that Israel had to pay in order to return Gilad Shalit, and it was a massive price in terms of the number of prisoners that were released and what those prisoners then went on to do after they were released, whether that price might not have been an appropriate one to pay simply to get him back alive, especially when you see what went on with Ron Arad. So this is all very, very fascinating, and I think all of these issues are related. It's good that I think Hamas are feeling a little bit of pressure. Maybe we will see something happen that would be good in the near future.
You know what I find strange is I feel to some extent Hamas is like the ANC, in that the ANC can do whatever they do and people somehow still vote for them. What we saw in the last conflict, where Hamas fired thousands upon thousands of rockets into Israel and the world still condemned Israel for that, I just wonder how much they need to worry about their PR. It's there is no answer to it. It's just a strange one in my view, because they really seem to almost have complete immunity.
I think in some cases you might be right. I mean, first of all, of course, you know, Hamas should be immune from firing rockets. I mean, it's all Israel's fault that they had the nerve to set up the Iron Dome to intercept these rockets. You know, this is the speak that's going in America. The Iron Dome is a problem.
Is one-sided. I mean, yes. Yes.
I mean, very, very one-sided. The truth, Howard, is that, I think that it's strange in a way that Hamas seems to have public relations immunity on the international stage, but not necessarily in their home market in Gaza. I think that the Gazans look at them entirely differently. During the time of the conflict, the Gazans on the street thought that this was all good, because it seems as if though Hamas were actually getting up and doing something, representing them in some way, fighting against Israel, whatever, you know, that might mean for the Gazan street. But right now, it's very quiet. And so are they sleeping? Are they doing things to promote their own cause? Are they're not representing the Gazan on the street? Where are they? And I think that this is where the pressure begins to build. When there isn't any activity, when things are a little bit quiet, I think the Gazans feel, because of course we know that they're not living in the lap of luxury. They have a very, very tough existence. And so to the extent that nothing seems to be happening, I think that that's when the pressure starts to build again.